I'm going to talk a bit about that first reading. So if you've got a Bible, there are Bibles in many of the pews. Could you turn on in the Bible to page 88 and then in the New Testament to 1096? Because it's a help to have in front of you what I'm talking about. So it's page 88 in the Old Testament, and then in the New Testament, page 1096. And we'll look at those just a little bit together this morning. And while you're finding the place, let me thank Chris for his kind welcome this morning. He and I have been a bit of friends for nearly 40 years, believe it or not. I'm an old man, but he's still a young man, and we've known each other for a very long time. And so it's great to be at Ely this morning. Mary, my wife, who's here, we were at the cathedral, it's probably about 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when a young couple were married who had been at school in Ely and were allowed to get married in the cathedral. And those were two young people who, as teenagers, met at the one of the youth holidays that Mary and I ran for many years. And that's the only other time we've been in Ely. So it's great to be back here this morning. And two other of the young people who we know because of the youth work we've done, they actually lived when they first got married in Ely and came to this church for that year. And they have often helped at these youth holidays. And when they were here for a year, they brought a number of teenagers from Ely to come to those youth holidays. And I just wanted to say that those holidays are still going on, and many young people enjoy them. And perhaps some more teenagers from here may like one day to come to one of those holidays. That's how I met Chris, and that hasn't made a bad job of Chris. And it is a great thing when you're a teenager to think about the Christian life, to think about what it means today to be a follower of Christ. And this morning, I want to take just one of the phrases in that first reading. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18, if you'd like to look at that wonderful story, Moses said, "Now show me your glory. Show me your glory." And perhaps the first question to ask, what is glory? Have you ever thought of that? Often in church services, we say, "Glory be to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." But what does glory mean? And I once heard just a simple description of what glory is. It is the outward showing of God's inner being. The outward showing of God's inner being. Have you ever thought, what is God's inner being? What is he really like? At the baptism service, I hope you were paying attention. And one of the things that Chris prayed for Isaac was this: shine as a light in the world to the glory of God the Father. What did that mean? The glory of God the Father. The outward showing of God's inner being. And when you think about God, if we really believe in God and what he's like, it is absolutely overwhelming. These verses just tell us a little bit about what God is like. It speaks in verse 19 and 20 about God. It says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. He is a God of mercy and compassion, it says, and goodness and love. Those are the sort of qualities of what God is like. But he is absolutely holy, absolutely good. There is no wrong in God. And what about us? Well, we do things wrong. Well, that's what we said in the service a short while ago. And it says right there in verse 20, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. God says no one may see me and live. And we may say, oh dear, what hope have we if we can never see God and live? Well, this is why I also suggested you should turn to that book in the New Testament. If you go over to, keep a finger in Exodus, page 1096, chapter 4 there and verse 6 says this, God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. And that's the secret of seeing and knowing the glory of God. Look at the face and life of Jesus Christ. That's where we find out about God and see God, in the face and life of Jesus Christ. And it's sad these days. Somebody said to me only the other day, you often hear people talking about God these days, but much less now talking about Jesus Christ. What a mistake. I remember many years ago at the University of Oxford, a great preacher who only recently died, called John Stott, came and did a mission in Oxford University to explain to people about God and help people to put their faith in God. And he had one or two talks at the beginning of the week, and somebody said, why are you talking about Jesus Christ in order to tell us what it means to be a Christian and not talking about God? And that preacher said, the reason is I start by talking about Jesus because he shows us what God is really like. And if you want to know God, then look at Jesus Christ. Think about Jesus Christ. Listen to him and follow him. That's the secret of finding out about God. Look at Jesus Christ. And that is what Paul in the New Testament is talking about, the glory of God in the face of Christ. But if you look back just two verses earlier, look at verse 4 of chapter 4, and it says this, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel, that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. If you want to see God, what he's really like, look at Jesus Christ, but that verse says, the God of this age, that is the devil has blinded the minds of unbelievers. If you were to go round the streets of Ely or back at home in Sussex where Mary and I live, if we went round the roads in Handcross where we live and spoke to people about believing in Jesus, I'll guarantee many people wouldn't have heard of him. certainly wouldn't trust in him or belong to Jesus Christ. Why not? Well, because that verse I've just read, verse 4, says that the devil has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Again, were you listening in that lovely baptism service when Chris prayed for Isaac? What was his prayer? That he would fight against sin, the world, and the devil. If Isaac grows up to live a life really worthwhile, the prayer is that he will fight against sin, the world, and the devil. Because what it says here is the truth, that the devil blinds people's minds. Look around the world today and see the variety of things people believe in, but many of them won't believe in Jesus Christ, because there is somebody whom we call the devil actually blinding people's minds to stop them believing in Jesus Christ. And so people don't see the glory of God because they won't look at Jesus Christ and consider him. We have the Bible. Thank God that we have many Bibles in England. But how many of them are read? Because they tell us about Jesus Christ. And he's the one that shows us God. And if we begin to see something of the glory, of the greatness, the power and the love and the truth of God, we begin to see who God is and what he's like, and how, because of Jesus, we can follow him. You probably remember one great occasion in the New Testament, which we call the Transfiguration, where Jesus went up onto a mountain with three of his followers, Peter, James, and John, and Jesus was there with Moses and Elijah from the Old Testament. And it says, they saw his glory, and his glory was like the sun in its beauty and light. Just a little glimpse of the glory of Christ, who shows us God. If you and I want to know the reality of the inner being of God, we see it in Jesus Christ, and that's how we can come to follow him. And here in this wonderful story in the Old Testament, and the interesting thing is that this bit of the New Testament that we were looking at in 2 Corinthians, that bit is all about this story in the book of Exodus. So if we want to understand that, look at what it says in the New Testament. It shows us. And here in this wonderful story in the Old Testament, it is speaking about the Ten Commandments. And I don't know if you remember, but the commandments were written on tablets of stone. The Ten Commandments, how we can and should live to be like God and follow God. And Moses received the Ten Commandments, and he came down from the mountain. And if you look at chapter 4, verse 29, just across the page in the Old Testament, it says, Moses came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands. He was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful description? Moses came down from the mountain having talked with God and received the Ten Commandments, and his face was radiant. He was shining with the brightness of God. And when he got down from the mountain, he found that the Jewish people, the people of Israel, had built a golden calf. And they said, we want something we can see to worship. And you know, today's world is full of materialism. Things you can see, possessions you can have. And those people, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, they'd been given God's way in the Ten Commandments, and they just built a golden calf, and it says they fell down and worshipped. And the sad end to that story was that Moses threw down the tablets of the law, and God's anger against sin and evil, worshipping of idols, and many people died. And so these chapters, 33 and 34, are about how God gave those Ten Commandments again. And it was a new start, and he was shining with God's glory, and people could see what God's plan really is today. And if you look just once more at that New Testament passage back in 2 Corinthians, look at the end of chapter 3, just at the edge of the page before. We all, and he's talking about Christian people who believe in Jesus, we all, with unveiled faces, our faces are unveiled because all the blockage between us and God is taken away, and we, with unveiled faces, contemplate, or if you look at the bottom of the page, it says, reflect the Lord's glory. And we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Think of that. Christian people, if we trust in Jesus Christ, we can look with unveiled, uncovered faces, we can look at God, and we can reflect the Lord's glory, so that we can be transformed and changed with ever-increasing glory, the glory of God in us, and we can be changed to become like Jesus, who is the Lord, the Spirit. And that's the incredible message of seeing God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. We, if we're Christian people, can be changed like him. And if you ask me what is the greatest need in our country today, it is for more people who reflect the beauty and glory of Jesus Christ in our lives, the way we live, the way we relate to people around, instead of living for ourselves. We begin to want to live for Jesus Christ, and we want to show other people what he is like. And that is possible because we can look at Jesus, receive his Holy Spirit, and then become like him. And in this story back in Exodus, when Moses said to God, show us your glory, it says just before that, if you look at verse 14, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us up from here, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth. And God said to Moses, my presence will go with you. And that's what happens when we open our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive his spirit and he changes our lives and he says, my presence will go with you. And as all of us, as we go out from church today, it's all very well to worship God and hear about Jesus Christ here, but out in Ely, there is a huge need for people who reflect the Lord's glory, who show people what Jesus is like as we live for him. So let us make it our determination to look at Jesus, to see the glory of God. And then as we get to know him, let's reflect God's glory and show people around us that Jesus Christ is alive and we can live for him. And that surely must be our prayer for Isaac, that as he grows up, he will know of Jesus and follow Jesus and show other people that Jesus is alive in the 21st century. Let's just have a moment of quiet and pray before we close. Let's just think of the glory and beauty and greatness and wonder of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So thank you, Lord, and our prayer is that we today may look at Jesus and listen to Jesus and live for Jesus day by day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.